Our Hebrew Bible lesson today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. It's in your pew Bible in front of you, so grab it, turn to page 656. And I will be reading from the Holman Christian Study Bible. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested. Oh no, Lord God, look. I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, look, I have filled your mouth with my words. See, today I have set you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. The word of God for the people of God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And after Mark commanded you to pull your pew Bible out, it's obviously in your hand, so let me ask you to turn to page 164 in the New Testament so you can follow along, chapter 13, 1 through 13. And if you remember, last week we read the section of Paul about the spiritual gifts, that he was pointing out that we are one spirit, many gifts, different offices in the church, but all from the one Spirit. He continues now to talk about these spiritual gifts. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson continues with the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30, we pick up where we left off. In fact, one overlapping verse. You can find this in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, on page 57 in your pew Bible. And if you remember, Jesus came back to Nazareth. He was in the synagogue with his friends and neighbors. They asked him to read, and he picked up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read from Isaiah about how he was truly the Messiah. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage that we read from 1 Corinthians is known as the gift of love passage. In that long litany of gifts, Paul describes the gift of love. And obviously, that name is for very good reason, because Paul points out the value and the meaning of love in a Christian life. Over the years, I've officiated at many weddings, several of which where the bride and the groom have asked that parts of the passage, that passage, be read at the ceremony. Okay, to be honest, it's usually the bride who asks to have part of that passage read, but it works out the same way. And it turns out, I didn't realize this, but I was talking to Ellen and Mark, this passage was read by the pastor at their wedding as well. But this week, as I was thinking about what God would have us hear through this scripture, I decided to go to King Soopers into the greeting card section of the store and see what wedding cards were like these days. Well, I bought two cards and I brought them home, and I wanted to share with you what they say. Both of them are very pretty. This one has some flowers on the cover. And it says on the cover, "Together may you live fully, laugh often, and love life's simplest joys." And then you open it up in some more pretty script, and it says, "Together may you find in one another your best and dearest friend. Congratulations on your marriage." Isn't that lovely? Well, I found another one. This one has sparkles on it, and it has an embossed image of Cinderella and Prince Charming. And on the cover it says, "Happily ever after." And then when you open up this one, it says, "The best story of all is the one you'll write together. And happily ever after is how it begins. Congratulations." Isn't that touching? Well, after having been married 24 years this coming summer, I want to suggest another kind of card for a wedding. I didn't spend a lot in graphics. It's not fancy. But on the cover it says, congratulations on your marriage. And you open it up and it says, good luck with arguing over the bills and whose checking account you'll use. May you find peace when he keeps leaving the toilet seat up. Let's see how you feel about each other once the honeymoon is over. Congratulations anyway. Now, I hope that you realize that my tongue is firmly in my cheek. My fictitious card may strike you as sacrilege. Maybe it's overly cynical. But it might be also be a little more realistic than those two cards that I bought in the store. How many of you have been married for many years? Am I right or what? Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with these lovely greeting cards, but they don't tell the whole story. Hallmark offers us one perspective on love and marriage, and the Bible offers us quite a different perspective. A view of Christian love that goes beyond this simplistic approach. The Bible passage in today's lectionary tell us of God calling people at various stages in their lives. From Jeremiah being called as a young boy, to Paul reminding us that God calls us to a new, more mature faith. And in fact, if you read through the psalm in depth, you'll discover that that was written by an old man looking back on his life. But in each of these passages, the Bible has a message for each one of us, regardless of our age or our experience. And in that first portion, God tells Jeremiah that God had picked out Jeremiah for his role as a prophet even before he was born, before he was formed in his mother's womb. And it may be a bit humbling, but you must understand that God has loved you since before you were born. Our various experiences with human love don't really prepare us for understanding divine love. It's nearly impossible for our puny little human brains to even begin to understand the depth and the breadth of God's love for every one of us. Most of us have a basic understanding of the covenant between two people that is set up in holy marriage, and how this love grows and deepens as you get older, as you grow together as a couple. But the love of God is so much more. I sometimes think of God's love as the NPR business model. Let me tell you what I mean. Both NPR, which stands for National Public Radio, and PBS, which is the public broadcasting service on television, both of those organizations work on the same business model. A huge variety of programming is offered, completely free of charge, to anyone who has a radio or a television. And then, once people are aware of this incredible free offering, they are asked if they might be willing to contribute to support the programming that they enjoy. It's not so very different from God's love when you think about it. God offers every one of us unconditional love from before we are born. In the words of John Wesley in United Methodist Theology, that's called prevenient grace. There's absolutely nothing we can do to earn God's love. And the converse is also true. There's nothing we could ever do, no sin we could ever commit to keep God from loving each of us. And so God offers us eternal life, living in the freedom and the glory of God's kingdom right here and right now. And all we need to do is to accept that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. Once we understand that God loves us in this way, once we comprehend that Jesus lived and died that our sins might be forgiven, we are offered the chance to become disciples of Christ. We're offered the opportunity to respond to God's love by sacrificing and working for God's people and God's church. God calls us to be stewards of love. And it is this deeper understanding of God's love and our response that allows us to read these scripture passages with greater understanding. Now, there's nothing wrong with that romantic love that begins our human relationships. In fact, this attraction, this infatuation is wonderful, beautiful, exciting, and something to be celebrated. That's why we're often drawn to a superficial reading of Paul's love passage and the sweetness of wedding cards. But when we read Paul's words more closely, and when we consider the hard and sustained effort it takes to make a marriage work for the long haul, we begin to understand the depth and significance of God's love for us and how we ought to love God in return. Pay attention to today's gospel lesson from Luke's passage, because it describes how Jesus was received in his hometown when he talked about offering God's love to outsiders. That's really the crux of the story. The folks who heard Jesus speak in the synagogue were not so much bothered that he wasn't helping them directly, but rather that he was proclaiming that God's love was available to all people, even those who were outside of the Jewish faith. It took a lot of effort and pain and sacrifice for Jesus to follow God's call on his life. It took an amazing depth of love for Jesus to preach this radical message of God's kingdom. It took an amazing depth of love for Jesus to endure the rejection of his own neighbors and his own family. It took an incredible depth of love for Jesus to subject himself to the horrific pain of crucifixion and the agonizing death on that cross at Calvary. But love made all of that worthwhile. My brothers and sisters, God is offering you unconditional love, a divine love beyond Hallmark. God is calling you to a life of discipleship and service and stewardship. God is calling you to respond as best you can. And I pray that it may be so. Amen.